What motivates you? Is it positive or negative? I am able to tell how your life is working from your answer. Your life is like a tree adjusting to the slope of the ground, striving to grow straight up towards the sky. Read on, I'll explain later. I woke up 3 times last night. Each time it felt it was too early to get up. But the 3rd time was close to the time I set on my wake-up alarm. And yet, I didn't get up. I went back to sleep a little bit, dreamed, woke up again, and then again and again. Every time I woke up, I conjured up an idea, an image, a thought that would actually make me lift the blanket, and swing my legs over the edge of the bed and get up. Nothing worked, until I thought, I will forever hate myself. Then I found my hands move for the corner of the thick blanket, my legs were swinging. So what happened? What was going on? I tell you. We are, all of us, are unconscious of what actually moves us. The word motivate simply means a force that moves. From there comes the expression, motive power. We all have it, but we all don't know it. After all, it could be so many. Newton said that an object in rest will not move until a big enough force is applied to it to move it. And an object in motion will stay in motion in the same direction it's moving, unless a big enough force changes the speed or the direction. Obviously, I paraphrased Newton's law for us to see clearly that we are either in rest or we are in motion. And most of those states won't take us to where we want to go. Pay attention that the want is inert. It is about as important in moving the object, you, as it is important how much face paint you have on. Not dot it dot all. Same with the other 3 imaginary movers, having to, needing to, and should. So finding out what moves you, what has enough energy to move you or to stop you, move you and change your direction, is mandatory if you want to be your own person. If you want to accomplish anything. If you want to have some semblance of power in your life. Life, your base nature, others, are already providing a lot of forces. And for you to have an experience of being a person, you will need to have a say where your ship, where your life is going. The 2 main inner forces are the move towards, attraction, and the move away repelling, or deterring forces. But I am starting to see that you have a base nature, and those forces combine. Your base nature is like a slope in the ground. It is not moving you to where you can be the best or where you can have your best life. In fact, it is moving you down the slope. Ugh. Your base nature comes from your soul correction. Let's not argue if there is a soul or not. Let us not argue that if there were a soul it would be perfect. Please consider the soul correction just an expression of an actual issue, a slope in the ground. A slope in the direction of being wretched. In the direction of never amounting to much. In the direction of desire for the self alone. The only evil there is. I am not saying it's the truth, I am saying that if we said that, a lot of, maybe all of what a human does, would start to make sense. About the fight of the different forces that results in the life you have. My job is to help people counter the slope in the ground so they can have a life they love and a life they live powerfully. The slope in the ground, I say, tends entirely toward avoiding pain, or towards pleasure. You remember, humans don't do anything that is motivated by anything other than pleasure and pain. In fact, no living thing does. But humans complicate this because they have this pesky ability to create a personal reality with words. That is the only difference between other living things and a human. That ability to create a fake reality with words. And humans consider this fake reality reality. And therefore act on imagined pleasure and imagined pain, never on the real thing. Nothing is real in the fake reality. For decades I have been attempting to teach people how to see reality as it is, and how to live there. It's not working. Remember The Matrix, the movie? The number of people who take the red pill and are willing to live in reality is minuscule compared to the number of people who live in the Matrix, the fake reality. And in this regard the movie is an accurate depiction of human life. The glop the humans eat in reality is a lot like the glop the big brain people eat in the movie Defending Your Life. But if you look, most humans eat a mirage. A mirage that is maybe 7% food, the rest is toxic to the person. And then they spend most of their energy detoxifying it and getting rid of it. The 93%. They have no energy, and they can only allocate 1% of their energy to using their brains to do something useful. But more than the food, and more than the brain not working, humans have to deal with the fallout of the fake reality they made up in their base nature. Getting angry, resisting, avoiding, forcing, dominating, explaining, justifying, looking good, sounding smart, being right. These are the behaviors that, like food, 93% toxic, not nourishing, not getting them anywhere. Intelligent species? My ass. Not intelligent. Talking. That is not necessarily intelligence. And yet, my job is to take some not very intelligent specimens, and try to modify their fake reality such that they will do more things that are in their self-interest, and less of those toxic, non-nourishing things. Things, actions that are not getting them anywhere near a life they can love and live powerfully. A shitty job, but someone has to do it. Why? Because the source of the design. The designer needs this information. What design? The design of a finally intelligent species that won't annihilate itself. How many quasi-intelligent species have been? 7 so far, says source. We are the 7th. My work is so the 8th can be closer to being actually intelligent. Some indications exist that the 2nd quasi-intelligent species had a few members that survived. But don't take my word for it. Does that mean that our species can have a few members that can survive? I think so. Who? My hunch is that the 1,000, the ones that consistently live in reality, make decisions from reality, and cause themselves not from the slope in the ground, but from what can create the best life. Those 1,000 can survive the events that will cause the rest of humanity to perish. Of course, if they've chosen a spouse who is not part of the 1,000, then the chances that their offspring inherited the 1,000 DNA are slim. I have access to pictures of some of the children of Charlie Munger, who is a 1,000. I have found one of them is also a 1,000. Charlie Munger has 6 children. His wife was not a 1,000. My father was a 1,000. His wife, my mother wasn't. My 2 brothers aren't. I am. But I am childless. Who the heck in their right mind would want to bring children to this world we live in? One of the ways people pick a spouse is because, like puzzle pieces, they are attracted to someone who is their opposite in some regard. The most frequent genetic opposite is the predatory genes. Charlie Munger was born with 1 predatory gene, his 2nd wife with 10. All the members of the 1,000 were born with 0 or 1 predatory gene. Predatory genes override reality. They convince a person that dominating, and force is a good policy for life. It isn't. Okay, back to our original issue, how to stop the moving to the wrong direction or how to create some good movement from rest. Your base nature wants you to avoid pain, and your base nature wants you to seek pleasure. I am most moved by, my actions are moved by what I don't want, what I can't tolerate even to imagine. The pain of anonymity, shame, not mattering. Having created nothing. Not being noteworthy. Not having done what was mine to do. Having not made a splash with my life. All horrible, intolerable things for me. I avoid these, so even the idea of any of these will get me out of bed, keep me up at night, make me forego pleasure. I am a shouldn't person. Both in my base nature and in my actions. Interestingly, there are a lot of people who are basically the same type, but behave as a should person. Why? Because they live in the fake reality. In the fake reality, pleasure is more important, ease, comfort, avoiding discomfort, avoiding domination of anything is more important. Avoiding looking bad, avoiding to find out that you are not smart enough, that you don't have what it takes. In the fake reality, in the matrix, avoiding the pain of reality is a strong motivation. And that results in a life that doesn't amount to anything, isn't enjoyable. Exactly what the person is supposedly trying not to experience. In yesterday's article, I wrote about the greatest motivator of all, tiny doses of being inspired by who you are. Not by what you do, but who you are. Why is it a great motivator? Because, I think, it works both for the should and shouldn't types. Even the most worthless, most inert underachiever does something worth being inspired by, occasionally. For me, it is a steady flow of small actions, confirming that I am a worthy person. Worthy how? Intrinsically. It moves me, until it doesn't. When it doesn't, when I am stuck in comfort, I've ultimately managed to say something that made it clear to me, in the moment, that the path I was on, the path of comfort, was the path to anonymity, the path to worthlessness. Anonymity is deep personal humiliation and disgrace. I don't want to feel guilty, I don't want to feel shame. So I get up, get going, snap out of it. So I use being inspired by who I am to keep going, and anonymity to change direction or to get going. Anonymity is the big hammer for me. By the way, there is no worthless in reality. I say I am worthless. And that is my guidance. To not be worthless. I use a lot of shaming in my classes. It's not working. When the spirit is dead inside, when the slope in the ground is stronger than anything I can offer, I feel like giving up. Quitting. Dying. My work is to find a way to turn Homo sapiens into human being. Or prove that it can't be done. Said in another way, bring people out of the matrix to where their actions are effective, because they live in reality. So far I have been proving that it can't be done. So given that, what can I do for people who come to me? I am told by clients that even glimpses of reality, even a little ability to rise above the slope in the ground, above the incessant urge to avoid, to force, to dominate, to justify makes it worth the effort and the money for people to take my classes, get my energies. And although I can take you to reality, because you can't or won't come, I can increase your ability to be effective, productive, and happier and healthier in the matrix. And although that is not what I really aim at, as a side effect you can get it and I know you appreciate it. Could I teach the side effect, to become more effective, productive, happier and healthier? I could. But would I be as effective at it as I effective am giving you the side effect while I am attempting to teach you something else? I don't think so. Context is decisive. When your context and your content are the same, you are utterly ineffective. When your goal with making money is making money, when with looking for love is getting love, when with speaking is to speak, you are ineffective. The context needs to be larger, maybe a lot larger. Then you can be effective. Crafting a context is an art and a science. Unfortunately, you cannot lie. You won't believe yourself. So crafting a context starts with taking a mercilessly honest look at what is there. A one-time client of mine asked this question this morning, would asking the responsibility questions increase our ability to spot deceits and scams? My answer to that was, as long as you are a deceiver and a scammer, that is all you will get. To which she responded, oh wow, this kinda knocked me conscious. I need to see how I'm perpetuating this being duped slash scammed because I'm a deceiver myself. Yes, this could be the beginning of the life coming from a bigger context. My prediction, it won't. But it could. And that is the essence of creating a context, it can work, but it isn't guaranteed. It is still up to you. In my current live course I teach how to create a context that will make your life start working, your projects moving, and your results coming easier and faster. I am repeating session 1 this coming Saturday, so although the course started a week ago, you haven't missed anything. You can also have the class recording. So you'll get a good start. I expect only one person to register. I have room for 3. Embark on this journey to take back your power. Go to www.jervibe.me/contextlive to register. Classes are at noon, New York time, on Saturdays, and run around 3 hours each. They are workshops, you work 90% of the time, I talk only 10%. Holiday weeks there is no class. The course will take as long as it will take. You can also buy the recorded version at the same link. Life is a dance if you take the steps, one step, then another. Anonymous.